Doing the right thing doesn't mean it is the right thing. Doing the right thing doesn't always mean it's the right thing. Have you ever done something that you thought was right, but then found out it was all wrong? Maybe not. Maybe it's a fear, like, I hope I do everything right. It could be embarrassing. It might be a total waste of time. But sometimes we do something and go, oh, shoot, that was all wrong. I should have measured it this way, or I should have stretched it this way, or I should have moved it over there, or whatever it was. We thought we were doing right. And alas, it was wrong. It could be a job, a task, or helping someone, or even ministering to someone, and I right away thought of a situation about a year, year and a half ago where I thought I was helping someone in the right way, but I wasn't, and I didn't. What's my main point this morning? The Apostle Paul became a Christian, but it was his heart motive that changed because of Jesus. Why does it matter? Tasks that we think are meant to please God could end up, can end up hurting God and hurting people. That's why it's good to think through in each of our lives, in each of our families, in each of our ministries, in our church, that doing the right thing doesn't mean necessarily that it's the right thing. Tasks that we think are meant to please God can end up hurting people and hurting Him. So we're going to get back into 2 Thessalonians for a couple of weeks. And if you may remember, we finished it off a little bit into chapter 2 back in spring. So we're going to carry on. So the next couple of weeks, this week, next week, we'll get into chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians. And then Todd's going to speak in a couple weeks as I'm away at a conference. And then at the end of October, we'll wrap up a three-week series on this one. But if you have your Bibles with you, let's go to 1 Thessalonians. And I want you even just to listen, as I'm going to kind of recap a little bit, starting at verse 9. And the Apostle Paul is writing. You can imagine, again, this group of people in Thessalonica. Can you say that? Thessalonica. Thessalonica. That's a hard word for it. That's the city. And they're all gathering in a home, probably a large home. And they're eager to hear that the Apostle Paul has sent a letter to them. And so they are now reading this letter. And we're jumping in partway through into this letter. And the Apostle Paul is writing, "Don't you remember, dear brothers and sisters, how hard we worked among you, night and day? We toiled to earn a living so that we would not be a burden to any of you as we preached the good news, God's good news to you." The Apostle Paul was a leather worker, a leather maker. He had a main job that he did. "You yourselves are our witnesses, and so is God, that we were devout and honest and faultless towards all of you as believers. And you know that we treated each of you as a father treats his own children. We pleaded with you. We encouraged you. We urged you." I love that word, urged you. "We tried to pull you and draw you into your relationship with God. We urged you to live your lives in a way that God would consider worthy. For he called you, church, to share in his kingdom and glory. Therefore, never stop thanking God that when you received his message from us, you didn't think of our words as mere human ideas. You actually accepted what we said as the very word of God." Which, of course, it is. And the word, this word continues to work in you who believe. Next verse, verse 13. Then, dear brothers and sisters, you suffered persecution from your own countrymen. In this way, you imitated the believers in God's churches in Judea, who because of their belief in Christ Jesus, suffered from their own people, the Jews. There's persecution going on at that time. Went on and still goes on to this world. And we had a great time last week with Kendall Schmidtke, who shared from his experience and challenged us. So I'm not going to necessarily go into that anymore. But that's what these people were going through. They were sitting around in this large home, and they were being encouraged by the Apostle Paul. Your life is tough. Your friends who you thought, your countrymen, who you thought were your friends, are actually angry at you because you're following Jesus. You're not following necessarily the Jewish way. They're not happy with you. In fact, they sometimes make life rough for you. And then he goes on, and for some of the Jews killed the prophets, and some even killed the Lord Jesus, and now they have persecuted us too. That's what they were going through. That's what was happening to them. But most of us in Rose River, Canada, have not experienced overt persecution. We may have been sidelined. Have you had an experience where someone, because they thought you were a Christian, kind of pushed you aside, kind of sidelined you a little bit, started to ignore you? If you walk away from you, kind of cooled their relationship with you. Even your own countrymen, Paul writes. Sometimes we have that. Go, why? I'm a nice person. Why are you ignoring me? But sometimes people do that when they find out you're a Christian. They don't want to spend as much time with you. Or maybe one of you came to the Lord later on and then you lost your friends as they realized you were following Jesus. That's hard. But Paul is going to give an encouragement to us that even the hardest heart can turn to God. Even the hardest heart can turn to God. Maybe you have some family, some friends, some co-workers that you think there is no way they could ever come to God. It's just impossible. What's the phrase? Hell would have to freeze over before they would come to God. Some of them, like, it would be a miracle if they actually came to God. But when the Apostle Paul is writing here, and this is amazing, as I was studying and reading through and praying through this, all of a sudden I realized, oh, this is what the Apostle Paul is doing. He's sharing his own testimony. We carry on in these verses, and it says, they failed to please God. These people that were persecuting, they failed to please God and work against all humanity as they try to keep us from preaching the good news of salvation to the Gentiles. And by doing this, they continue to pile up their sins, but the anger of God has caught up with them at last. The Apostle Paul is sharing his testimony right here. I'm talking to you about all the persecuted, the people that are persecuting you, and I was one of them. You know that in Paul's testimony. If you go back to Acts chapter 9, verse 3. Now, the context is he's going around persecuting people. He is arresting people. He is killing people. He is splitting up families. He is doing his worst. Not unlike what Kendall had shared about what happens in a lot of the countries around the world in persecution. This is what the Apostle Paul was doing. Now, the crazy thing about the Apostle Paul is he was Jewish. He was raised a Jew. He was He was well-versed in all the scriptures, all the Old Testament. He was an expert. But he missed it. What he thought he was doing was right. He was doing what he thought was the right thing, but it wasn't the right thing. He was persecuting the way because it went against everything that the Jewish people thought they... Now, the interesting thing is if the Apostle Paul had read, he would have realized there was a Messiah who was to come, and that was Jesus. But he missed it. But look what happens to the Apostle Paul. As he was approaching Damascus on his mission, he'd had a powerful letter from a lot of the religious leaders, and he was coming to Damascus to arrest all kinds of people. As he was approaching Damascus, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul!" exclamation point. "Saul!" exclamation point. "Why are you persecuting me?" Can you imagine? That would have been terrifying. A loud voice from up above with exclamation point, "Saul!" And he says, "Who are you, Lord?" He didn't know. He heard, maybe this is God. What's going on? "Who are you?" And the voice replied, "I am Jesus. The one you are persecuting. I am Jesus. The very man that you are hurting. Now get up and go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do." Now, how many of you ever read the King James Version of the Bible? You may remember there's a line here that doesn't show up in any other translation. Do you remember what that line, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And what's that next line? Do you remember? You don't remember? I wouldn't expect you to. "It is hard to kick against the goad." It is hard to kick against the goad. Some of you remember that. It's only in the King James, but I want to go on a tangent with this. And I was scratching my head as it came to my memory. I'm going, I remember reading that. And then I had to think, what is a goad? when I was in grade 8, we had biology. I think it was grade 8. You ever remember one of the things you got to do in junior high was to dissect a frog? Do you remember that? I think it was grade 8. And being immature as I was at that point, a bunch of us, one of the parts of the frog was called a gonad. Do you remember that? Cody, you remember. And being as we were, grade 8 boys, we started calling everyone a gonad. That's not a goad. Okay, I'm just saying. It came to my thought as I was thinking about goad and gonad. They're unrelated. Don't call anyone a gonad, okay? What's a goad? Anybody know what a goad is? I didn't either. I actually had to look it up. So, wait, can you put the picture up there? Okay, so a goad is a long stick with a pick on the end. Now, in some translations, it says it's hard to kick against the goad, or it's hard to kick against the prick, because you would get pricked with that. And what they would use it is actually an ox goad. So what a farmer would use when he's leading his or getting the oxes moving forward, he'd have the stick and trying to goad them forward, trying to move them in the direction. They would either use the blunt end to kind of move them over, or if they were stubborn, they would use the pick side to kind of hurt them a little bit. A little bit like what we do with horses and spurs, we'd spur into the back of the abdomen area, but they would use a goad to kind of get them going. What was Jesus saying? What was he saying? Saul, Saul, it's hard for you to kick against the goad. I am trying to direct you, but you're fighting against me. I'm trying to move you, but you keep resisting me. Do you not get it, Saul? Do you not get who I am? You've heard all the apostles preach. You've read the scriptures. You know them backwards and forwards. You know them. Do you not get it? And I'm trying to move you. I am trying to share with you who I am, what I've done through all the people that you have persecuted. And you continue to resist. Must be hard for you because you're fighting so hard. Give it up, Saul. Follow me. That's what he's saying. And then he says, now, I've blinded you. Now go into Damascus. I have a calling and a task for you. The grace of Jesus. How many people in our lives we would just kind of throw off? Forget, there's no hope for that person. And I'm sure there's a lot of people as I was growing up who would shook their head and said, yeah, Tim Ryan, I don't know what he's going to end up being like. That guy is pretty immature. I won't tell you some of the immature things that I've done. It's embarrassing. They still come to my memory. Sheesh. But God has a mission and a call for every one of us, whatever we're doing. Look at how Paul changed. Now, the interesting thing is, and I was just reading a story. This is a really good contrast. I was just reading a story on one of a man by the name of Pao. He's from Vietnam, and how he was brutally persecuted by a very angry police officer, police chief in Vietnam. Just awful, awful story. And you can imagine Paul, he would have had the same anger. When you persecute, there is an intense anger. There's an intense fight against. But who wrote the love chapter? 1 Corinthians 13. Paul. He changed. He really changed. He became gentle. The fruit of the Spirit filled him with love, joy, and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. Night and day, man, an angry, violent man, to a man of love and joy and peace. Wow. If God could change Paul, he can change every one of us, and he is. Sometimes if you think back, I used to be like that. I'm not anymore. God is working on me, and he's still working on me. You and me, he will continue to work on you and me. We want to do the right thing, don't we? Deep down, Paul wanted to do the right thing. We all want to do the right thing. And my challenge for us, for me, is that whatever we're doing in our lives, is it the right thing that God would want us to do? Please don't take it going, oh, I've got to reanalyze everything in my life. Maybe I'm going in the total rot. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about in our day-to-day lives and in our relationships and our friendships and our ministries and everything we do. Are we doing the right thing? How can we make sure we're doing the right thing? Let's go to application and reflection. At the beginning of the day, or when you're planning on something, ask God and pause to listen. Because sometimes we think we know the right thing to do, but I find the times when I actually pause and wait for God to show me something instead of just running forward, it can make all the difference in the world. Before I speak something, if I just pause, sometimes, and Judy has noticed this about me, sometimes I'll, when I'm speaking, I'll all of a sudden go like this. Who knows that? I don't know if anyone else knows that. I sometimes do that. Because I want to say something, but I need to think through it before I just say it. We need to pause sometimes. So this is what you do. Four things you can do based on what the Apostle Paul experienced. You ask, what would please you, God? Because he talks about here, he says, they failed to please God. That's what he failed. They failed. So you stop and ask, what would please you, God? In this moment, in this situation, in this ministry, in this calling, in this whatever, what would please you, God? Then the second question, how can I work for humanity? Because it says here, they failed to please God and work against all humanity. That's what they were doing. As they try to keep us from preaching the good news. What can I do that will help others? What can I do to make a difference in the world or in this situation? How can I encourage this person I'm talking to? How can I work towards helping this person towards God? And then he goes on and he goes, and by doing this, they continue to pile up sins. He was talking about how he was piling up sins in his life. Where's an area that you and I need forgiveness? Sometimes we need to just stop and go, God, from this day, is there anything I need to ask for forgiveness? Something I didn't do right? I remember reading, sometimes I do this, I remember reading an article that sometimes it's good to keep a failed journal. And what this person mentioned is that sometimes it'd be good in a day, or after a day at the end or the next day, and go, where could I have done better yesterday? Yeah, I probably shouldn't have eaten that extra piece of carbs. That just put me over that. I shouldn't have done that. Or I shouldn't have said that. Or I shouldn't have eaten that. Or I should have maybe gone for that run when I was a little bit lazy. Right, we can work right down and go, well, these are some things I could listen or I could learn from. It's called a failed journey. Don't do it because it'll all the time because it'll just make you too hard on yourself, too negative. But once in a while it's good to analyze a little bit. So he said, talk about piling up their sins and receiving forgiveness. And then it says, but the anger of God has caught up with them because of their sin. And I look at it and going, I think what the Apostle Paul is saying, let God's love catch up to you. As you sit, okay, I need God's love to just catch me. I just need his love to catch me. And then the last thing is keep praying for those who are not responding to God. Don't give up. Don't give up on those who don't need God. Don't give up on those who are wandering from God. Continue to pray for them. Let's pray together, and then we'll close in our worship. Lord Jesus, thank you for the Apostle Paul's testimony. And then because of all of that, Jesus, because of your life and your death and your resurrection and your ascension, you saved each of us. And I pray for us as a church, Jesus, that you would help us to continue walking towards you. And I pray that we would allow your love to catch us. So thank you, Jesus. Bless us, encourage us this week to walk with you, to encourage others, and to further love you. And we pray this in your name, Jesus.